the three-day agenda that the council has published. We have 15 minutes for this item. Anyone wishing to make comments, please raise your hand. Maggie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. I note that with your under your chairmanship, you've made some changes to the species committee's names and the composition. And I was wondering how that is going to impact the advisory panels for those committees. And also, as a longtime participant in this process, and I've consistently and continually advocated for more frequent, more consistent use of the advisory panels in this process. I've advocated that you involve the advisors up front, you know, in the beginning of the decision-making process, rather than having them react to what the committees have already developed. And, you know, to some extent that has improved over the many years that I've been involved in this. But there really still is no consistent policy on how and when the advisors are used. It's still basically left up to the chairman of the Species Committee whether or not he or she actually wants to use the advisors at all. And I was just hoping that maybe the council could consider developing some kind of policy that the advisory panels could depend on to know when they were going to be used or when an action is taken. But again, it's not clear to me now. For example, I serve on both the groundfish and monkfish advisory panels, and now that's one committee, and it's not clear to me whether you're going to keep those advisory panels as they are or how the whole thing is going to work now that you've made those kind of changes. So if you could respond to both of those points, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
And on your first question about what's going to happen with the advisory panels, I've had discussions and thoughts about leaving them the way they are right now. And giving the committee structure, the new committee structure, an opportunity to see if that works. And over time, perhaps we'll see the utility in combining into one advisory panel to complement the one enlarged committee, if you will. We've also had discussions about what does this mean for the respective PDTs that work on each management plan. And just to be clear, the committees as structured now, they aren't combining, say, monkfish into groundfish into one plan, so we're still going to have separate PDTs as well. Your second question on the use of advisory panels, I agree with you that we need to use advisory panels up front as we start to develop future actions or new actions. We don't have a stated policy that I'm aware of about how we do interact with advisory panels. I think you bring up a good point that it is at the discretion or whim of the chair of the specific species committee. So if you can give me until the next meeting to think about it and come up with some options, I'd ask that of you. Thank you. David.
David Frula for the Fisheries Survival Fund. I didn't have the document where this was discussed, but I had heard that there may have been a change in terms of how this council is dealing with advisors who are from the Mid-Atlantic region. Is that such that they have to be appointed and paid for by the Mid or something like that? Has there been a change? And I'm sorry, I missed that item, and then the paperwork wasn't out this morning.
There's no change in policy. If there's enough interest in squid and we want to provide advisors to the squid plan down at the mid, then I would ask Dan, I would say, Dan, we want to have two advisors from New England to be on your advisory panel. If I ask for two, I pay for two. Okay? That's how it works. So if he wants advisors from the Mid-Atlantic to be on our groundfish committee, he would pay for them.
Is that going to change anything relating to scallops, where you have advisors pretty well geographically balanced right now?
No.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is Jim Permanente. I'm a fisherman out of Boston. And I just want to say that my family has been in the industry since 1906, continuously as boat owners. I've never seen a mess like there is now. Every time we come up with a regulation, we know that in 2 or 3 months, there's going to be some other change to it. So that means you just don't know which way you're going. The best way to solve the problem is to take all the funding for all these tables and stuff around here, all these meetings, put it together, get the environmental community, get some money, and buy up some of the fleet. Less boats, more fish. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? John.
John Williamson from the Ocean Conservancy. Earlier this month, there was a week-long symposium in Boston, ICES symposium on the ecological impacts of fisheries, and it was an attempt to catalog and present current research into both the impacts of fishing worldwide and the gear development measures that are being developed and implemented worldwide to deal with these impacts. It was a very interesting conference. I'm sure there were a number of people in the room who were there. It brought to mind, and there was a lot of information, frankly, that I picked up that, I mean, we're doing a lot of stuff in this region, but, boy, there's stuff being done all around the world that could well be applicable to fisheries in this region that people need to know about. It brought to mind an experience on the council from years ago. In the mid-90s, there was a short-lived council committee called the Professional Standards and Practices Committee. Jim O'Malley was the chairman of it at the time. The purpose of the committee was to define, to identify best practices and to try to disseminate that information to the community. We also looked at the time at the concept of possibly a certification program for the industry as far as professional certification for people who wanted to take a step up in the industry as far as their professional standing. It might be time to resurrect that kind of an approach with the wealth of new information that is out there today and the need to begin to integrate some of the good research, collaborative research that's being done on both gear development and the question of best practices, because oftentimes it's not just about the gear you're using, but how you use it and when you use it. Understanding that the council has a very limited budget for dealing with things that aren't absolutely necessary. Yesterday's priority setting was a very telling exercise, but one wonders if there isn't some way to squeeze in this discussion because it has applicability across the fishery management plant.
Anyone else? Okay. Okay, we're on to the 145 agenda item, which is a